Hello once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Tuesday, April 23rd edition of Bang the Book Radio, a special edition here as we chat with Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible about the NFL Draft, which starts on Thursday night with the first round, seven rounds in total here, so plenty of stuff for us to talk about, both with the draft itself and also with all the prop betting options that are out there in the marketplace. If you haven't checked out Monday's edition of the Bettors Box, please make sure that you do. Lots of MLB, NBA, NHL content over at bangthebook.com on a daily basis to go along with weekly soccer, tennis, golf, UFC, you name it. We've got it over there at bangthebook.com, your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. As you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Good to talk some pigskin here as we bring Joe Everett from NFL Draft Bible on. Joe, how's it going today, man?
I'm going great. 2.5 days away from when the league presses the reset button. It's my favorite time of year. So, yeah, this week is bliss. I wish I had the whole week off, but I tried to get close to it.
Yeah, we got the draft here from Nashville, Tennessee. Anybody going to the draft? It's a great town. Obviously, lots of things to do, and especially if you want to get off Broadway, I've got some good recommendations for that with Santa's Pub and the Listening Room is a couple of my favorite places. Hattie B's for fried chicken, the Distillery for hot chicken pizza. A lot of great places in Nashville if you're heading down for the draft or if you're going to go check out your team when they play in Nashville later on this year or something like that. Really, really cool town. Should be a great time there for this year's draft. And Joe, let's talk about this draft overall, and then we'll start getting into where some of these players are slotted and, of course, all the prop betting options that are out there for this thing. I mean, it's almost like the Super Bowl in terms of the number of props that are posted. But overall, Joe, you've been doing a ton of work on the draft for NFL Draft Bible for a variety of different publications. What are your overall impressions here of the 2019 draft class?
Well, we've got, I mean, who rules the roost is the edge rushers. I always love to look at classes the year before, this current season, and then what's up ahead. And you look at last year's edge rushers. It's Marcus Davenport and Chubb, and then a bunch of guys. Like, well, this year it is a handful of options and different types. Not saying these are all going to be blue chip red winners, but by comparison between last season and this draft season, boy, there's a ton of options. Defensive line is right up there with them. And for, I think, the first time in a long time, there's a real tight end class that is just full of dudes for a change. The league, I'm not going to say it's terrible with it, but we need some new tight ends to step up and carry the mantle here. I wish it were a better linebacker class. Last year was good. There's some great names at the top in the two Devons, but I think there's a bit of a step down there. And then the difficulty with this year, every season, teams looking at the answer for quarterback. What we need our franchise passer, and it's to me, there's not always that answer every single year. And if you really have conviction on a guy, then it's, you know, obviously take him. But, like, boy, this I believe this to be a down quarterback year. It's a so-so running back year. And there's a lot of options. It's a deep wide receiver class, but it's a bunch of guys with holes in their game at wideout. So, I mean, as a group, I mean, if you're a team that really is in need of a pass rusher and you got a bunch of a picks, now's the time to trade up and go get your man. So that's good news for those teams. But I'd say, you know, if you're a team that needs a corner, you're a team that needs a quarterback, boy, you're really going to have to shop and be specific and do your investigating. It's tough pickings out there, I think, for the passers, the running backs, and corners.
All right, so as we start breaking down this draft and sort of looking at the way that things might go here, there will be a ton of smoke screens. There will be a ton of chatter over the next 2 days, probably even while we're recording this and then while I'm, you know, editing it and getting it put up here. There's just going to be so much going on, so much talk in the news cycle about the NFL draft. So the juice that we talk about here on today's show probably won't be available. It may have gone down. It may have gone up. It will move a lot. This is a very inefficient market for draft props. A lot of these things are at low limits, and a lot of people, a lot of smarter people out there are definitely capped with how much they can put on these. But these things will move around a ton by the time Thursday night rolls around, and then, of course, we'll see what happens with the rest of the draft here, Joe. As we're recording around lunchtime Eastern time on Tuesday, Kyler Murray, minus 325 to be the number one pick at Five Dimes, minus 500 at Bet Online. Obviously, shop around for the best prices that are out there, minus 625 at DSI. So that's the biggest number that I'm seeing right now. We're not going to see any surprises with the number one overall pick, are we?
Not in my opinion. At this point, especially if you've been following the way Kyler's odds go, they dropped down, and now it's just been even more confident. I just find it really hard to believe at this point. The one thing that makes you worry a little bit is that there's been little to no movement on the Josh Rosen front. But looking at that, I think that's a situation where they let the draft get kick-started and then a deal gets made in mid-swing. But that's the way my final mock's going to read, unless there's a surprise. But at this point, I'm pretty sure they're locked into the Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, and something that would be interesting to me, and I, God knows, there's probably this prop out there somewhere, but would it be too strange for Josh Rosen to be traded during the first round here on Thursday night? Like, some team misses out on a quarterback that they wanted, and they say, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and try Josh Rosen. Because I don't know where Josh Rosen would be taken in this year's first round. I'm sure he would still be a first-round pick. But that's something that some team that misses out on a quarterback may end up doing, especially if Kyler, you know, does go number one as expected here. That could make for a pretty interesting Thursday night, I would think.
And I think that would affect a lot of these props too, because if I'm a team that's still in need, and as I said, you know, the picks start falling, that price tag starts dropping. I'm definitely giving the Keim bomb a call on his phone there, and hoping he hasn't started early in the day. Sorry, no offense, Steve, but honest to goodness, that you mentioned, you know, where he'd be drafted this year. I love every year I do this for all the positions, last year's class, next year's class, what I think it's going to be, and then present group. Well, Kyler Murray is the only one in my top 10 from this year's class. So that's and Rosen, I believe, would be five. I mean, put two in the conversation, but no, I still hold Rose in a very high regard, and I gotta believe there's some teams that still think of him that way. It's, I mean, there's some teams that obviously don't want anything to do with him. Other teams don't need quarterbacks, but the way that guy spins it, I've just got a hard time believing there's another offensive coordinator or coach that doesn't want to get their hands on that kid.
So it looks like the consensus opinion here, and again, the markets are suggesting this, and the markets do tend to be pretty predictive with these types of things. Kyler Murray, number one to Arizona. Number two on the board is the San Francisco 49ers, who have plenty of needs, obviously. Quarterback, not one of them, so long as Jimmy Garoppolo can finally stay healthy one of these years. Seems like the consensus opinion here is Nick Bosa. 50 out there at Five Dimes to be taken second overall. A lot of people seem to expect him to be a top two pick. BetOnline has him minus 300 to go in one of the top two selections. Is that your expectation as well, Joe?
Yeah, that's what I've got the 49ers doing, especially if he's available. I think they run to the podium. That's the plan, unless, you know, something haywire goes and Bosa's the first pick. But, yeah, like I said, hard time believing that happens. Bosa's just so special, and I know that if there's any 49ers fans or insiders there listening, well, that's all they've done is take defensive linemen. I realize that, and I realize they picked up Dee Ford, but I really think the Knicks, he's a generational type player. You know, you don't see a pass rusher like this every 5 years. It's a 10 years kind of thing. So you take that guy and be happy that he fell in your lap.
All right, so I think the number three slot is where things get really interesting. Obviously, with the Raiders and John Gruden, the four slot is fascinating. Tampa Bay's got a lot of rebuilding to do on really both sides of the ball, I think, just in terms of filling all the different holes that they have. They pick fifth, Giants sixth. Of course, there's a lot going on with the New York Giants and kind of wondering what they're going to do. I think one and two are pretty clear cut. I think anywhere from three on down, this thing becomes really, really intriguing. So with the number three pick here, we've got some different odds, some different players. Over at BetOnline, they've got Josh Allen plus 200, Quinnen Williams also plus 200, Ed Oliver plus 250. You've got Nick Bosa plus 1,000, but he's probably going to go second overall. Dwayne Haskins plus 1,200, Drew Locke plus 1,400. Obviously, the Jets don't really need to take a quarterback with their situation, so I would be surprised if any of the quarterbacks go three. What do you think happens at three, and how do you think that sets up not just the rest of the top five, but the rest of the top 10 as well?
Three, I agree. That's where just about any scenario could break down. I mean, I could see a number. I've got Quinnen Williams. I think that's who the Jets should take, but God's honest truth, I don't see the Jets making that pick. That's the real scary part about doing these mock drafts for accuracy, is because the 49ers, the Jets, would not be surprised if both those two teams are, you know, at the end of the day on Thursday, it's like, well, some other teams made those selections. So if I'm at that pick, I'm the Jets. I think Quinnen makes sense, but the big board, teams trading up, it could be a trade-up for a quarterback. It could be a trade-up for just the right pass rusher. There's some teams super high on Josh Allen from Kentucky because he fits exactly what their scheme runs. So I think if I had to pick it specific, that's who I'd pick there at the slot, like sort of BPA. But if I had to match to the team, I don't know that the Jets would be all about Josh Allen particularly. So, yeah, three is just I always like to stick to where the board's at, and just I take Quinnen because, you know, that's talent. But, boy, that I agree with you. That's that left, right, and then that next left step. Boy, that could be anywhere. So, heck, it could be Devin White. It could be a different type pass rusher. So, I'd go if I had to pick the player, though, I'll just stick to that then. Josh Allen, just like if he's got the flat-out odds, that's where I'd go with him. But I'd stay away on that picking the number three pick specifically, because that one's tough. And then it could go anywhere from there. I've got it Oakland Raiders four. That's my first wild card pick, and it ties into my one of my first props is Drew Locke, I think, is the second quarterback off the board. A lot of people are taken with Haskins. There's whispers about Daniel Jones, but I think the Raiders, they got to get a really up close and personal look at Locke in the Senior Bowl. Just seeing how he works, seeing how he reacts with players, I'm counting not only on that, but the type of quarterback Locke is and how he might potentially be a Denver Bronco. It would satisfy the Raiders to, I think, the utmost to just steal him right from Denver and just pick him at four. We're also hearing reading the tea leaves, they've got a surprise pick at four. I think this could very well be that surprise pick. And then also, like I mentioned, tying in with a prop, I'm not throwing a ton of money on this one by any means, but I think wherever it is, it's going to be in the plus that Drew Locke is the second quarterback off the board, because the favorite's going to be Haskins, and then some other people are betting up Daniel Jones to be the spread. I think Locke, that's the really smart. Like I said, the Raiders don't do it, the Broncos at 10 could do it, and then really, I think realistically, Haskins, his landing spot to me is Washington Redskins. He's like a Maryland area kid. He's had meetings with the team. I think that kind of fits their MO, but, you know, been wrong before. But if I'm going to take a chance, just throw a little pizza money at one of these, I like Drew Locke as a second quarterback off the board. And these are like, I don't want to say half unit plays, but I like to throw small plays that just go by my personal board, because that's my number two quarterback right now. That's who I would bet on. And so, you know, sort of a little money where your mouth is. But, you know, I also like to bet. It's if I lose a little bit of that on a plus pay, I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah, Drew Locke right now, plus 250 to be the second quarterback taken. I saw you got this at plus 270. So moving down again with all the different reports and all the other things that are out there, you know, Drew Locke draft position, is he taken 10th or higher over at BetOnline? The yes is plus 140. So that's not a bad look either, based on your assessments of the draft class, of the teams, of what they're talking about. with him possibly going to Oakland or maybe going to Denver there at 10. So looks like Drew Lock, maybe a guy that you like. And that's interesting because, you know, overall, as you said, there's been a lot of talk about Haskins, a lot of talk about Daniel Jones. Everybody sort of likes the fact that he comes from that David Cutcliffe coaching tree, the fact that, you know, he's got the measurables. Everybody loves measurables and goes apeshit for those here in the draft. Daniel Jones kind of has a lot of those things. People talking about Haskins, people talking about Jones, there has been very little talk about Drew Lock, and maybe that's by design. You know, maybe the Raiders are able to keep it under wraps. Maybe Denver doing a good job keeping it under wraps as well. So an interesting stance there from you, Joe, and I like that you are putting your money where your mouth is. And, you know, as we kind of look at the quarterbacks here overall, you know, sort of looking at quarterbacks selected in round one, this is a prop over at Bet Online right now, over 3.5 quarterbacks, minus 450, under 3.5 quarterbacks, plus 275. You've got this over at DSI, over 435, under 265. So looks like at least four quarterbacks expected to be taken in the first round. What do you think about that, Joe?
This is one I'm not going to throw a ton at it, but I'm going under. As I mentioned, just to preface this whole thing, I'm not nuts about this quarterback class, and I want to believe the league isn't nuts about it. If I was going to bet against a position group of this whole draft class, as a matter of fact, it would probably be this quarterback group. I think, if anything, the running backs don't really knock me out either, but I just breaking it down, what is it, 6-7 teams max that could take a quarterback, and definitely the two teams with the multiple picks, but I think it's either, if it's not going to be Jones, I got a feeling maybe it's Haskins, but I want to say Jones at the end of it doesn't fall in the first. That's what wouldn't surprise me there. So, like I said, I'm not throwing a ton against it, but they keep raising that more and more to the plus, then I'm not only taking the under, but sticking to my guns there. And this may be a case where don't try this at home, Joe may die with his boots on thing, but I don't like this QB class, and that's one definitely where I'd like to throw just a taste on that under, because it just wouldn't surprise me at the end. It's like, oh, well, you know, top of day two is where Daniel Jones found a home. And it's like, yeah, because he's not exactly day one. It doesn't mean I don't like the kid. I think he can play. But, I'd rather take the under on that and just see how it works out. Like I said, not advisable. Don't try this at home kind of thing.
Now, you mentioned, you know, you don't love the quarterbacks. You're not enamored with the running backs either. The wide receiver group, you know, it's kind of interesting, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of blue chippers there either. So something you are looking at here is you've got a pretty strong opinion on offensive and defensive players taken in the first round. It looks like the defensive side right now, most lines anywhere from 16.5 to 17.5. Offensive players, 14.5 or 15.5. How do you think that this first round kind of shakes out between defensive guys and offensive guys?
It's going to be surprisingly close to the half split, but I see one of these quarterbacks dropping. I see potentially one of these wide receivers not making it. So I've got a max situation, 3 to 4 QBs, 2 to 3 wide receivers. I believe the Alabama running back's in. I believe the two tight ends at the top, they find their way in. And then you got 6 offensive linemen, maybe more. We'll get into that as my favorite prop. Well, one of my faves. Even at that gets you the max 16, I think. Because if some of those teams, they don't take the quarterback, they may go with the lineman. And if they don't take the lineman, they go with the wide receiver. I still think it's on one side of the ball in a lot of these teams' situation. Looking at you, Baltimore. Tennessee, like the offense at any cost, I think, speed on that team. But without breaking down the specific teams, I really think this is another one, sticking to the board with talent available. There's just so many good edge rushers, so many good defensive linemen. The corners there, those two linebackers are going. I really think not only are we going to see potentially 17 defenders, it could be more. And I think there's a reason, though, that I kind of combed over 3 offshores. One of them, I believe, is Bet Online. They were all at 15.5. They're now down to, I think, 14.5 for good reason, because they're doing their own math and seeing, well, we may not even see 16. So I think under's the way I'd go on that, and feel pretty confident about it.
So as we look at that, then another prop, and maybe this one's a little bit correlated here, because we do tend to see teams reach sometimes for offensive linemen. They like the measurables. They like the athleticism. They'll figure, you know what, maybe he's not a tackle in the NFL, but we can put him at guard. Or maybe he played guard, but I think he's got the footwork to play tackle. We tend to see teams that do reach from time to time to get some of those offensive line guys. But as you listed here in the notes that you sent over to me, you think we're going to see a very defense-heavy top 10 this year?
I do. That's where, I mean, maybe we get the two quarterbacks, but I think the edge rushers are going to run. I believe it. 5-2-9. That's where at least three of them go. The linebacker from LSU fits in that. The only one that's got me worried, Hawkinson's going to find his way. He's probably going to get in there. And if I'm right and locks the surprise with Kyler, that makes three. All you need is Juwan Taylor to wreck that party. So it's a little dicier, and I believe that's still why it's not like the full hammer that one home, but I still believe that's one where you stick to your board, because it's looking like seven to me. Sweat, Burns fits in for me. I'm crazy on that one, but if he doesn't, you've got Quinnen, you've got Josh, Nick Bosa, Devin White, there's Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary's in the mix. I think there's just too many different options there. It's I'd look at seven being the end number. Now, granted, though, it's not like it's a super safe play, because I don't see it being eight. It's you know, not completely out of the woods, but I'm leaning those lesser plays. I'm sticking to best player available on my board. Like, I see it's definitely thick of defenders there. It's especially with the needs. Now, that's where it gets difficult still. It's the trading out options, what the Jets and 49ers do there. There's another team that I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa gets out of that pick as well, especially the Jets. They need to recoup picks. That trade they did with the Colts last year, move up to get Darnold, cost them a lot of second-rounders. I think they'd like to recoup for sure.
Now, obviously, I know we're bouncing around the prop board quite a bit here. Defensive players selected in the first 10 picks, over under 6.5. The under now -140, which is kind of interesting and maybe speaks to, as you mentioned, you know, some of the chatter about the quarterbacks, the chatter about the tight ends, stuff like that. Obviously, we'll see how this all plays out. And, of course, think if a team's going to move up, and this is just me making a blanket statement, if I'm dead wrong, please let me know. I feel like teams are a lot more inclined to trade up for offense than they are to trade up for defense. So maybe with all the chatter about teams trading up and down, you know, maybe the expectation here is that teams are going to go get their offensive guys that they want, but maybe settle for the second or third choice defensively if they're comfortable with staying put where they are.
Oh, no doubt about it, especially when you're trading up in the top 10. A move like that is a costly move. So you're doing it to get the answer to your franchise or a pass rusher. I mean, that's what we saw last year, one of the more costly moves, the Saints just moving up three spots. They gave up their 2019 first-round pick just to get Marcus Davenport, who, with that thumb injury. But point being, there are trade, if there's other options in quarterbacks, it's an edge, the real flamethrower that teams get. But outside of that, yeah, it's usually franchise passer or offensive tackle.
Well, speaking of that, over under 7.5 draft day trades for the first round is a prop bet over at Bet Online right now. And part of me sitting here going, you know what? I think 7.5 eight's a lofty number of draft day trades for round one. But at the same time, with the level of this draft class and with, you know, as you mentioned, so heavy on edge rushers and defensive players, does make you kind of wonder if we could see a very active Thursday night. So what do you think about over under 7.5 draft day trades for the first round?
I mean, anything could happen. Like you mentioned, that the teams get itchy in the top if the right player falls, and then I think the big look aheads are those late 20s, 24, 25, 26. You know, who's getting Josh Jacobs? That's a team that may be itchy to trade for him. I think there's some drop-offs and pivots. So, like, Eric McCoy, team might really want to get a piece of him that has to have their answer interior-wise, those linemen. So, I'd be willing to go under. 7.5 just sounds like a lot.
It does. I mean, maybe that's contingent on what white guy the Patriots like at 32. I don't know. Maybe that's the one that that swings the balance of that prop bet there. But let's talk about some guys that, you know, have gotten a lot of chatter here over the last few days and sort of try to nail down their draft positions a little bit here. Let's start with Montez Sweat, who's draft position over under 8.5 over at Five Dimes right now, eighth or earlier, the way it's worded over at Bet Online. And, you know, this is a guy that all of a sudden, it seems like he's kind of tumbling down the board a little bit. Minus 400 to go outside the top eight. That over-under 8.5 is now minus 400, to go ninth or higher, or ninth or lower, I guess it would be in this case. I mean, is this well-founded news? I mean, is this a guy that probably will tumble a little bit on Thursday?
Yeah, he's got a heart murmur that's similar to the condition that Maurice Hurst had from Michigan last year. The Raiders ended up taking him fifth round. The difference is, though, Sweat was diagnosed, but they allowed him to work out at the combine, unlike Hurst, and Sweat blazed the combine. His weight, I think, close to 260, ran a 4.41. Some of the things he did are just super rare. Athletically, he's a phenom. But teams, I have heard some teams just take him right off the board with this heart condition. Still, he's a first rounder, but I think wisely these books are kind of backing off him as a top five potential pick. See, my last mock, I had him at 8 to the Lions. I think that's right about where he's at, but still, I would not be surprised if a team like the Giants took him at 6. I'm hearing they're not doing quarterback. At least if you talk to Gettleman, it's crazy the way he talks, first of all. But secondly, he's just backing up Eli at every single opportunity. So I think the Giants are in the market for Sweat. If they've cleared him, they could take him. But I've got it 8 or later. So, yeah, that's a pretty sharp number. I would not be too keen on going under. There's a lot of teams that do a ton of homework, and they got some high-paid doctors that know secrets we will never be privy to. So it's tough with those medical guys, man. Not only Sweat, Caleb McGarry, the tackle from Washington, I'm a huge supporter of his game, but similar heart condition. I don't know that if he's going to fall in the top 100 or not. And, man, it stinks because, you know, right now it's that the medicals that we don't have. The newest one is Rashawn Gary's got a labral tear, and how that's going to affect his stock. It's, I would not be willing to say he beats this and goes ahead of 8.5. I think he is probably – he's probably going to be right at that spot, 9, 10. And if the team's sitting there past 10, he's still on the board. They're running to the podium.
Yeah, and Gary was the next one I was going to go to. Their draft position over-under now 9.5 at Five Dimes over minus 290. So another guy looks like he's kind of sliding down the board a little bit. You know, we mentioned that this draft is not really great for skill position guys on offense. You've got some quarterbacks that could wind up being something. Looks like everyone's in consensus opinion that Josh Jacobs will be the only running back taken in the first round, if he's taken in the first round at all, and he probably will be. But we've seen some teams here over the last few years, as the game has changed, as offensive players are having more liberties with, you know, pass interference calls and stuff like that, wide receivers have been worth their weight in gold in the draft. Marquise Brown looks like probably the best one that's going to be out there in this year's draft class. As you mentioned, there are some tight ends that are, you know, guys that are going to go off the board early. But what about Marquise Brown here? Because we know that teams will reach for athleticism. They'll reach for speed. They'll reach for game-changing ability at the wide receiver position. Seeing him 19th or earlier, plus 200 to the yes, minus 400 to the no. Seeing his draft position over under 19.5 over at five dimes. Where does Marquise Brown end up falling?
I think he's in the 20s. Were it not for the Lisfranc injury he's got right now, he would be in the teens, borderline top 10 pick. That speed he's got, I'm still dying to see a race between Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown. My money's on Hollywood, but, you know, I've lost the bet before. But 19.5, that's right around that range. Wide receiver needy teams, why they put him there. I love how it's Pittsburgh sitting there at 20. I'm fairly confident they won't draft Antonio Brown's cousin, something tells me. But the Titans, that's the team right there. They need speed in the worst way. I mean, they'd shoot somebody tomorrow for a guy that could run a 4.3. So I think that is definitely a fit. And then just even past them, Baltimore being such a needy team. I don't know that the Titans pull the cord. Considering not only take Corey Davis so high, but boy, they waited on Davis and he had that injury. Are they going to draft an injured wide receiver kind of thing? I would definitely say he's past that pick. He's getting drafted somewhere in the 20s. I think he fits in the first round, but that's where I get at with this wide receiver class. Like, you know, Hollywood Brown's my number one wide receiver, and I get a bunch of grief for that, you know, but there's holes to his game. There's holes to Akeem Butler's game. A.J. Brown's not complete. If I actually have to pick the most polished receiver in this whole class, it'd be your guy, Debo Samuel from South Carolina, because I'm confident in a number of aspects of his game, and I can't say that about any other wide receiver in this class outside of Terry McLaurin, Ohio State. I really think that it is a tough wide receiver class, and that's why one of my props – I'm still going to throw a little dough against the under 2.5 wide receivers in the first round, just because I think teams will think similarly. They'll see DK Metcalf and realize, well, this is just a bigger version of DJ Chark from last year at LSU. Like, this guy, he runs four routes, maybe three. I don't see any polish to his game. Where, like I said, Samuel, his teammate A.J. Brown, I think there's some polish to his game, but are any of these guys really day one, man? It's and you got to make a real strong case. And Hollywood Brown, it's going to be difficult for a team to spend a super high pick on a guy that might, well, I know we've read good reports on his health, but if he's got to take a redshirt season, I don't think anybody'd be surprised. So that's part of the danger of Hollywood Brown's stock right now is, once again, we are just not privy to those team doctors and what they're whispering in the ears of the general manager.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. You know, you got somebody like Jeffrey Simmons coming off the ACL. You've got Montez Sweat dropping down the board with the heart murmur. You've got Rashawn Gary going down the board. You've got Hollywood Brown, obviously, with his Lisfranc injury. You got a lot of injury considerations. You've got all these trade considerations. I think this is a really tough year out there in the prop betting market. But to your point there, the under 2.5, still plus 130 over at DSI, down to plus 110 over at five dimes. Again, these are very liquid. They'll be moving around a lot. But you don't see many mocks. Three first round wide receivers. I think that kind of speaks to what I was saying previously in the introduction to talking about Hollywood Brown there, is that we just know that NFL teams have a propensity here with the current state of the game to reach for some of those wide receiver guys. And even though we're not seeing a lot of them mocked in the first round, the odds reflect, you know, sort of the mindset and the philosophies of these teams. And you know, that's why I think it's really interesting to look at here that we don't have three consensus first round receivers. And yet the over 2.5 is juiced to the minus side everywhere you look. It's really, really interesting. And, you know, I maybe it's just something where people are kind of making those educated guesses, saying teams have been reaching for wide receivers. Why wouldn't they do it again?
No, it is a good point. And like I said, Tennessee isn't the only one that are going to be merchants for speed at whatever cost. It's you're right. It's a league-wide fascination. So that adds to the intrigue of Brown, because he is one of the few receivers in this class that's got that legit 4.3, and you almost don't even need the combine. Or it's just, you know, we've got too much footage of him torching people. We know he's plenty fast. So that is going to add to his intrigue.
All right, so let's look at some of these team and conference-specific ones, because I think this stuff is pretty interesting. Excuse me, interesting as well. You've got one listed here, Alabama players drafted. And obviously Alabama, always very, very popular here when it comes to the NFL draft, and deservedly so. I mean, they always have the best talent. They wind up getting their guys to the biggest games, all that kind of thing. Well, you sent this to me yesterday. The line was 2.5. Now it's up to 3.5 where I'm seeing. So obviously there's been a lot of steam here for Alabama players in the first round. The under 3.5, now -180. Over 3.5 plus 140. Are we looking at exactly 3 Alabama guys going in the first round, Joe?
That's how I'm playing it. And I am sorry that the number changed. I played it, so I guess that's my only recourse. But I have Quinnen Williams, Jonah Williams as locks. Josh Jacobs, I think that's pretty much going to happen in the 20s. Right there, like I meant that. This sweet spot of Oakland, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, right there, if he survives that, I'd be shocked. So there's 3 for sure, but then it's getting sticky now at the 3.5 because my next Alabama player is Mack Wilson and maybe Irv Smith, but neither of those two guys. I've got round 2 grades on both of them, and I think a lot of teams are going to have round 2. Irv Smith's got the NFL bloodlines, real fabulous player, but I think I don't see him as a traditional Y. I don't like the bulk. I don't see him blocking. So that's not day one grade. Mack Wilson, I think there's some just liabilities out there in pass pro. Sorry, Justin Gamble, if you're listening, but I think it's exactly 3 on the nose. So I'd probably have to take the other side now that the numbers changed. And really, since it's, I think I took the I took over 2.5 at like -200 something. So I'll just take the under 3.5 and middle it at -180, I guess. But I wouldn't be upset at that. Cause I mean, I know it's dangerous to say, no, it's exactly 3. It will not change, but I don't see Irv Smith getting in. I don't see Mack Wilson. I don't see Deontay Thompson, the safety. There's just, they're good players, not great. So I think we're landing at 3 Crimson Tide first rounders.
All right. So we're about 25% of the way then to going over this prop, SEC players selected in the first round, over under 11.5, the over -$1.50 right now. We just them coming from Alabama. Do we get 12 or more SEC players here in the first round, Joe?
That's tough. I added mine up. I think I was at 11 on the dot, and that's including Jeff Simmons, you know, with his off field. Maybe he doesn't land in. Fortunately for the SEC, a lot of my alternatives would be SEC players. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida. A.J. Brown, I don't have him in the first round, but if it's not DK, it could be A.J. So there's just 2 Ole Miss options there. I would play under just on the basis that it's going to be so close. I mean, if I had it at 12 with more options, then I'd want to go over, but at this point it's just going to be too close because there are some fringe guys. You know, what if DeAndre Baker, Georgia, doesn't make it in, and then one of your other options like DK Metcalf or AJ Brown, those two aren't first round players like I'm kind of forecasting here, then it would fall under. There's just too many oddball picks, you know. There's just some Pac-12 guys that could make it in. Dalton Risner makes it in the first round. Well, that hurts your SEC cause there, so I'd stick to the under.
All right, how about the ACC here? And we'll start with Clemson, who, I mean, look, at this point in time, they're on the same level as Alabama. I think all of us can agree to that. Over under 2.5 Clemson players in the first round, Joe, -$1.20 on both sides.
I've got it 3. Cleland Farrell or Cleland Furl, however he wants it to be pronounced, Wilkins, and then I know Lawrence had the the PEDs and all that, but that guy just moves the pocket. I think that as the last few weeks have, you know, removing these pro days, and now his stock's really starting to take a little bit more of a hike. Rough way to end his college career, but I think he's day one. So he's basically the question mark for me, because Wilkins, Farrell, they're going. I have Lawrence in day one, and it's another one of those situations kind of similar to Simmons. If it's got to be a team that, you know, just slides them in at the end of day one. But yeah, I think three will happen.
All right. So then the conference as a whole here for the ACC, over under 5.5, the under -200. And it seems like this kind of hinges on where Daniel Jones ends up going. Does somebody like Garrett Bradbury in the first round? Because we know we're probably going to have the three Clemson guys. It's all a matter of who makes up the other three to get over that total. So what do you think about 5.5 ACC players over under?
I think I've got it right at 5. Burnsy, Florida State, Bradbury. I've got my three Clemson boys. And then, as you mentioned, then it'd be does Daniel Jones get in? Boy, I'm terrible at these conferences sometimes. Yeah, I'd play that one under too. Better safe than sorry. Of course, I'll be eating crow if Jones gets in there, because I am confident that Bradbury's a first rounder. I think those three Clemson kids and Burns. So I know it's a solid 5. It's just, as I mentioned, I'm kind of against the quarterbacks. Feel them falling. That's where I'd be leaning. But man, that 5.5 is a tricky number they put up there.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, again, juice to the under, because it does seem like, in a lot of ways, you know, maybe Drew Locke is the guy that jumps over Daniel Jones. Dwayne Haskins, obviously. I mean, you know, with Haskins' talent and that arm, someone's going to take a first-round shot on him. So, you know, if a quarterback-needy team already has Locke, Haskins, and then obviously Kyler Murray going number one, is there a spot there for Daniel Jones? Does somebody move up from their second-round pick, give up some sort of asset next year to gamble on Daniel Jones? I don't know. That's what the fun is here of the NFL draft. There are a lot of fun things about the NFL draft, but that's certainly one of them. Couple more prop bets I want to pick your brain about here. And, you know, I wish I had done a little bit more in advance of this so I could give you some advance notice on this one. But I've seen this one getting some run out there in the Twitter community with a lot of people that I respect. Non-FBS players, so FCS, D2, D3, you know, wherever else they come from here in this thing, non-FBS players selected in the draft, over under 18.5, the over -150. And I think that this is interesting for a few different reasons. One, I think it's a commentary on how scouting and talent evaluation is evolving, because you're getting deeper and deeper into looking at D2 and D3 programs. I'm sure you know this, I'm sure you've noticed this in your coverage at NFL Draft Bible over the last few years, that you probably are putting more D2, D3, and FCS guys on your list than you previously did. And the other is that maybe this kind of speaks to the overall weakness of the draft with regards to FBS players. So what do you want to add to that with the over-under 18.5 non-FBS, which is Division 1A players, taken in this draft?
It's a glorious aspiration, but I don't think we make it that high. I've got they're looking far and high and low. I mean, any prospect is eligible, so you really do have to do your homework. I've been really killing it on the wide receiver small school. I think there's a ton out there. I love the Ashton Doolin from Malone. My favorite small schooler is Damian Jean-Pierre from Nicholls State. Shout out to Lardarius Webb. That kid is the Odell Beckham of the Southland Conference, I think. But as far as the whole number, I've got two, maybe three FCS players in the top 100. Adderley from Delaware, and then Colin Saunders, Western Illinois. If you all listen, don't know about him, just Google Colin Saunders backflips and enjoy. This 300-pound man does 10 standing backflips. It's just fascinating. There's a corner from South Dakota State, Sue Opeta from Weber State, and then Trey Pipkins. I think those five they're getting drafted. And then Jazz Ferguson, Jalen Ferguson's little brother, he was at LSU and then ended up at Northwestern State. There's a corner from Washburn, Corey Ballantyne. And then Ole Udo for the Elon tackle. There's John Kaminsky from Charleston, but I think that just there's a cutoff at some point to where I think 14 or 15 get drafted. 18 and a half, I mean, that's almost making it to 20. That's an awful high number. I mean, that's then guys like Easton Stick are getting drafted, which I don't think's happening. Steven Denmark, maybe that Dalagala from Central Connecticut State. There's a cutoff at the number. I think that's that prop is there optimistically, and that number's, I think that's just a little too high. I play under that.
All right, so obviously a lot of these props relative to the first round on Thursday night, but I want to give you the floor here to talk about some of the guys that you like, some of the guys with some helium in your mind that you've scouted, that you appreciate their skill sets or their intangibles or whatever else, maybe some surprise guys to sneak into the first round, or just your dudes, you know, your guys that you're going to go to battle with, you know, that you talked about for the 2019 draft class, and you know, whether you're going to be right or wrong on them. You know, we don't know that until a few years down the line, but who are some of the guys that Joe Everett really likes here, whether they sneak into the first round or just guys that, you know, you've got high hopes for?
Terry McLaurin, Ohio State, I ride or die with the kid from Cathedral. He's had one of the best draft seasons I can remember.
Can he get him in the first round? Can he actually be a first round guy or no?
I would love it if it happened, but I will not have him in my first round mock. He is a great, great player and all around. Like I said, when we were talking about these wide receivers and how many holes, I don't think there's holes in Terry's game, but he's going to be a popular player on day two of the draft. That teams are like, wow, I didn't think he'd go that high. I did. I've got him rated higher than Paris Campbell because right now he runs more routes than Paris Campbell. He is a phenomenal blocker, and I believe that's not exactly a strength in Campbell's game. And then he's a special teams demon. As a gunner, he's a violent tackler. I just love the physical brand of ball he plays, the pro he is, just talking to him. Like you would think you're talking to a five-year NFL veteran. That guy, I would not be surprised where, you know, 10 years later, it's like, yeah, man, Terry McLaurin, what a pick that turned out being for this team and how well they did with him. It's, that's one guy I think he's destined for success. I will confess that I'm biased, that, you know, he went to Cathedral, Northside Indianapolis, and I'm very upset that he didn't go to Notre Dame. That's Tony Alford's fault. He was at Notre Dame, and Ohio State, in their wisdom, hired him away. He's a great recruiter, and, well, the rest is history. So I think that wide receiver, really, Ohio State's whole class, I'm not trying to throw Haskins under the bus here, but he's throwing to pros. Dixon's a pro. Campbell is a phenomenal athlete. Terry McLaurin, get ready for next year because Victor Benjamin is like a carbon copy of A.J. Green. K.J. Hill can play. They've got a guy, Javon Grimes, that's a ball. Well, no, I shouldn't get carried away on next year's Ohio State, but, like, there's so much talent around that kid. It's just like you couldn't help but fall forward into some stats. Yeah, I think that Ohio State wide receiver crew is just oozing with talent. And then I'd say that center from North Carolina State, Bradbury, that we just brought up, that's one of the finest linemen in this class. He's a former tight end, just excellent athlete. And another one, I may put too much stock in it, Adam, but the interviews at the Combine, at the Senior Bowl, on the whole trail, he sounds like a guy that's already been in the league. Not only fielding questions, how he carries himself, and that's a guy that strikes me. You know, he walks into a locker room, the rest of the guys are going to be embracing him. He's like, no, that's one of the dudes. We're ready to play with this guy, and that's who you want to bring in. And I think he's going to have a ton of success. And then we already talked about the South Carolina receiver, Debo Samuel. I don't see anything but success for him. As long as the injuries don't haunt him, he's just going to be a fabulous player. I think if anyone's watched South Carolina games, they'll know exactly what you're getting with him, and then I'd close it out. Probably that edge rusher Burns, man. I like what I see. I know some people say he's a little too lightweight and all he does is run and bend, but that's still like very special in the league. And if you're listening right now, just Google Brian Burns combine and watch this kid work out. You won't be sorry. It's not a waste of time. It is just amazing at that length, how coordinated he is, and the potential. You can definitely see what kind of upside. And to me, that's what the draft's about. You know, we don't know. No one's got the answers. It's a guessing game. I'm going to flat out admit, we're all throwing darts. We're drafting profiles, upside, and what these guys could be in the right situation, in the right think tank, with the right, you know, time given. But, yeah, that Burns, boy, he just looks like something I don't know that the league's seen. If he gets in the right scheme, gets with the right coaching, he could – develop into a real blue chip pass rusher at the next level. He's already a great collegiate player. I think that's a guy teams should be salivating. He's not as blue chip pedigree as Nick Bosa, but boy, Burns could be just a rare player.
I'll put you on the spot one last time here, Joe, and then we'll wrap things up. What about you mentioned some guys, some small school guys, FCS, D2, D3. What about some small school D1 guys, some of the Group of Five conferences, Sun Belt, Conference USA, you know, that type of thing, Mountain West? Anybody stand out there that, you know, that maybe isn't getting a whole lot of buzz that you do like?
Well, Allie Madison, Boise State, that running back there, I think he's getting overlooked by a lot of people. There's a lot to like about him. He's thick built, well proportioned, I think 221 at the combine. So, I mean, that's plenty, but outstanding receiver, lots of spring in his jump cuts. And anybody that was putting a little bit on Boise, they were doing good covering. That wasn't all Mr. Rippin. I think that Madison took some games over. He's just really tough to tackle, and that's a guy at the end of games. He's running the same 40. No, he's not, you know, a great distance runner. He may get caught from behind, but that high 4.5s that he's running in the first quarter, he's still running that in the fourth quarter. That's the kind of conditioned athlete he is. I think we're looking at a Jay Ajayi type with a cleaner medical report and a little less wear and tear. I think Madison's one. And then non-power five. I'm going small school again. I've got one kid from Wofford, Miles Brown, real zero technique. And that's one, if anyone's watched Baltimore Ravens and seen Michael Pierce with those thick under thighs, this is what Miles Brown is. Spartansville, South Carolina, I think, those Wofford Terriers. Love how he moves, penetrator plus pass rushing ability. And I don't think that's one, he's going to be like a priority free agent, but he's going to play in the league. I'm very confident of that one.
Joe Everett was working and find over at NFL Draft Bible, final mocks, all kinds of stuff going on. What do you guys have coming up here? What have you already done and what's coming up here over the 2 days prior to the draft?
Well, the labor of love this year has been the NFL Draft Bible itself. We're back in publication for the first time in, I don't know if it's been eight or nine years, but I'm looking at it in its all its luster and glory. 100 plus exclusive interviews, 1,000 players ranked, 400 plus scouting report. It is not too late to get your copy. Just hit me up on Twitter. You can find it at NFL Draft Bible, NFL Draft Scout. We're collaborating this season, so it's great to have that accompaniment for this year's draft in full effect this year. But yeah, we're back on for next year, getting a guide going again, and then also we will be putting out a prospectus for this next coming college football season too. So the work never stops at the Bible.
Yeah, and you can follow Joe on Twitter at Joe W. Everett. Make sure you hit him up to take a look at that NFL Draft Bible this year. Joe, always a pleasure, man. Good to get you back on the program. Good to chat with you a little bit. Love your draft coverage, man. You guys have done a fantastic job, and we'll talk to you again when we get closer to football season.
All right. Sounds like a plan, my man.
There you go. There's Joe Everett from NFL Draft Bible at Joe W. Everett on Twitter and at NFL Draft Bible. I'll have another edition of the Bettors Box, my MLB betting podcast, coming up here on Thursday, so definitely keep an eye out for that. Also, we'll chat some UFC on Friday with Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast, our UFC writer at bangthebook.com. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks to Joe for joining me on the show, and I'll talk to you again on Thursday.